Award-winning wings.
The best wings.
Championship-winning wings.
The golden wing should be presented that day.
They should have a banner. I'm going to unveil it on the air.
Nice, yeah. Sure. Hang the banner.
Creighton Baseball tonight hosts Coastal Carolina at the Chuck. Nick will be there. He hopes you will be, too. The Jays are 8-0 in mid... Wait, you will be there, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Jays are 8-0 in midweek games.
Gary likes to say Billy and I will be there.
Billy, yes. Billy Bishop. Ooh, I like that. Alter ego.
Hey.
Hey.
Would you rather be 8-0 midweek, mm-hmm. but possibly for the second straight year missing your conference tournament, or 3-4 midweek with the best winning percentage and highest RPI in your conference?
Yeah, what's the RPI for red team versus blue team?
Nebraska's is 19.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. You answered my question.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the latter.
Give me the red team resume right now.
Perspective. Yep. This is the week that we will look back on that determines the fate of Nebraska and Creighton. All I hope is that people, please go to the game tonight. If Creighton is going to work to get Coastal Carolina, who's, I think, the highest they're ranked in a poll is 13th, mm-hmm. to come to Omaha in the middle of April, go to the game, please.
Yeah, decent weather, too.
I won't be able to go. I got storm chaser duty, and Paul Skeens and Libby and I are hanging out for the next couple of days.
You guys having dinner, y'all, all of you.
At the zoo.
We're actually going over to Summer Kitchen right across from their hotel to have... we might stop at that Dunkin' right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll see the three of us. Skeens will look the one that doesn't look like he should be there. Yeah. Because Livy and I are about the same height.
Yeah.
But please, can for the next two nights, it's night games. Okay, you don't need to pull the kids out of school, whatever.
Nope.
Do a doubleheader tomorrow. I'm going to do a doubleheader tomorrow. I got 11:05 out of Warner Park, and then I'm downtown. Please, 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 can we have a good crowd at the Chuck for the next two nights?
Going to be close to 70.
Hell yes.
I mean, if Ed's going to get them to come here, and they could, Coastal Carolina could be back here mm-hmm. in 2 months, I hope people turn out because you're going to see two really good midweek college baseball games yep. that we don't get that opportunity around here very often
yep,
this time
absolutely.
Of year. Thank you. There's my PSA.
That's a very good one, too.
Yeah. It'll be a nice night tonight. A little breeze, a little cool, but not cold. Tell them Jim Flannery sent you. They'll be like, oh, yeah, he just got paid. He did. He signed a contract extension. The previous contract was set to expire after the completion of next season. Terms of the new contract will not be disclosed, but odds are he'll be well-to-do. Other baseball tonight, Nebraska baseball. Big conference matchup, at least when we were all in school, when they host Kansas 6:05 at Haymarket Park. Drew Christo for the Huskers against Evan Shaw for the Jayhawks. Omaha softball at Creighton this evening at 5. The Mavs are 32-10. Very good. The Storm Chasers are back home to open a series with Indianapolis at Werner Park at 6:05, 11:05 game tomorrow if you'd like to, you know, schedule some meetings. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Coach Andy Reid, General Manager Brett Veach, and President Mark Donovan have all had oversight. That's right. That's why Gary's wearing the hoodie. They got paid.
That's nothing to do with the Broncos yesterday?
I mean,
no.
You
might
sure?
as well flex.
Do you know that that trio together is 134? Do you know who, in that same time that Veach, Donovan, and Reed have been together in the NFL, who has the second most wins in the NFL?
Patriots.
The Bills.
Oh.
And they only have 78. Mm. Let's go.
Only.
Jump
my Bronco
that
fans.
Table.
Let's ride.
Yeah, see, you said Bronco
Let's ride.
Fans. I knew
yep.
you'd.
Let's
you
ride.
You got it. You have to.
Hey, let's ride. Let's go, Zach.
Zach's going to come into Arrowhead?
Yep. The Jets Ooh. Thought they had the quarterback Ooh. Position locked up for more than a decade when they drafted Zach Wilson. Well, they said, how about the Broncos? They have him locked up for a decade. He was traded yesterday, as if things couldn't get worse for Bronco fan. Based on the original investment, the Jets got pennies on the dollar. They will receive a sixth-round selection in this week's draft from the Broncos, who, in addition to Wilson, will get a seventh-round draft pick. The Jets and Broncos are splitting the $5.5 million Wilson is due this season, with each team paying $2.75 million while shaking their heads. After 15 seasons, four Pro Bowls, and a most valuable player, and an epic choke job in the Super Bowl thanks to Kyle Shanahan, former Atlanta Falcons and Colts quarterback Matt Ryan announced his retirement yesterday, officially ending the career of one of the most durable and consistent players of his generation. He was pretty good. He made the announcement in a video statement posted to social media by the Falcons. Good career. What could have been? Former Royals great Jacob Junis, now of the Milwaukee Brewers, was taken away in an ambulance after being hit in the neck by a line drive during batting practice at PNC Park in Pittsburgh yesterday. Sources say that he was caught yelling, "Hey, bartender, Joe Boo needs a refill," prior to getting hit.
Well, you forget the backstory. He drank the rum.
A Pirates infielder, yeah. Alika Williams, who hit him. Junis remained down for about 20 minutes while being treated by medical teams. The team said he was conscious, alert, responsive, and feeling good. And he was sent to the hospital for further evaluations. He went on the 15-day injured list on April 6th because of a shoulder impingement. This will probably make things worse. He's made one start this season. He'll be back. Finally, even the refs are tough in hockey. Longtime NHL referee Steve Cazzari left the ice on a stretcher earlier this month after colliding with the Lightning defenseman Hayden Fury during a Penguins victory. Returned to the ice Sunday, working his 137th career Stanley Cup playoff game. He missed the rest of the regular season after the collision. Worked with fellow referee Kyle Raymond, as well as lineman Michael Cormier and Bevan Mills during the Canucks 4-2 win over the Nashville organization in Game 1 of their Western Conference quarterfinal series. The collision with Fleury took place April 6th at center ice with 13:49 remaining in the game at the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. He stood back up, skated off the ice over the Lightning locker room while Cazzari lay motionless while the training staffs of both teams tended to him. He did not return to the game and was not in the lineup on Sunday when the Lightning opened their postseason run on a 3-2 loss to the Panthers. But yeah, hockey refs, toughest in sports.
You're right. And this is always reminds me to give a shout out because he's no longer in the NCHC. This was his last year because he's now a baseball coach. But Dan Drager, there's a lot of Maverick fans remember. Gary, you might have been at this game too. This would have been pre-COVID. It was towards the end of the game. He wasn't trailing the play. He was behind the goal in the offensive zone. It deflects off of a stick. This was a full-fledged wrister from a defenseman that probably came in close to 100 miles an hour. Deflects off a stick, catches him in the orbital bone. He goes down. I mean, he's bleeding like crazy. He gets himself back up. Has to be removed forcefully from the rest of the game because he figured, I think there was only 3 minutes left to go. He wanted to finish the game, and the guy could probably barely see. He was living in California at the time. It was so bad, they wouldn't let him fly home because of the pressure could essentially rupture his faceplate. Like, his skull could just implode. And
whoa.
Yeah, and the
it's
dude
like
just
some scanner stuff.
He just tried to shake it off. He just tried to say, I'm good. And we didn't see him till the following year. And I was asking him about it and how he was telling me all the things that he, you know, had to go through during that time. They had to put a plate in there. It was awful. But the fact that he was down for a little bit, there was blood everywhere. And then he tried to get himself up, yet then the other two linesmen and the other official were essentially keeping him down so he couldn't try to get in the finish the game. Like, no, we're good. We can, three-man crew, we can finish this one for you, buddy. You got it. Oh, man. It was nasty. But it's still one of the toughest things I've ever seen. And then one of the linesmen, in fact, he's Omaha Fire Department chief. He's a battalion chief, Scott Fitzpatrick. Fractured, I think it was his tibia. And he skated off the ice, too, with a fractured tibia.
No surprise, he's a firefighter.
Yeah,
tough
firefighter
tough.
And a hockey official. So,
they announced the NCHC schedule, I think, at noon.
Yep, today.
It was kind of funny last night in the Boston-Toronto game. The fans are chanting USA, USA, as Austin Matthews then goes Austin Matthews and scores a goal on a breakaway. He is from the USA. That is such a good rival. But man, Toronto is Boston. That series is tied a game apiece now.
I forgot the number one sports update locally, and apologies. The Jack Mitchell softball experience rallied in a redemption story because I just see a tweet that says, you just lost to Jacob Bigelow.
Wow! Why you gotta do that to the man? He's so excited this morning that Nebraska may kick the tires on Luke Good.
Jacob got
in the portal from Illinois. What are they doing that to Jacob for? Thanks, Jimmy. Isn't it interesting? You know, we live in a basketball state, and then it'll be a volleyball state in the next couple of minutes. There are three Division I basketball programs. All three have men and women. So this is a day of doing math. Mm-hmm. How many coaches would that be total?
Total head coaches? That would be six.
Five of them have received contract extensions in the last 40 days.
Yeah.
Greg McDermott, Jim Flannery, Fred Hoiberg, Amy Williams, and Kerry Banks. What do they got against Crutch?
I guess he was a little late to the party. He's the most recent addition there, so he'll get his, right?
I mean, after 2 years, you're not extending.
Yeah, what the hell? What the hell, man?
I mean, I'd get my agent on the phone with Adrian right now. Yeah. Hey, you know, five of the six basketball coaches, Division I basketball coaches in the state, they all got extensions. Where's mine?
I feel like there's some negotiating power there, especially with your own institution that you're there. Yeah,
I was happy for Flan, man. That guy's going to be a lifer at Creighton, and there's nothing wrong with that.
He should be.
I think they should block out the days for Sokol Arena to host first and second round next year.
Mm.
They're going to be a top four seed.
All right.
Be great. Flan, we were talking about this. I can't remember if we were on the air or off the air during the crossover. Of one of the, and this isn't, it's even to be dismissive of the type of person he is. He's just one of the most unassuming guys. One of the true, nice, just gentlemen of sports. And you always feel good about success being rewarded and the longevity of Jim Flannery, the transition from the Missouri Valley to the Big East. But more than anything, it's just the way that he's evolved, and it doesn't get talked about as much, how he has adapted his roster from a Missouri Valley roster to a Big East roster to where now you do have to contend with UConn and some other decent teams in that conference, and they have been extremely consistent. But the one thing that's been consistent, if anybody who's known Jim Flannery from even back in the Missouri Valley Conference, is the person himself. He is the absolutely most approachable, friendliest guys. There's just people you want to see good things happen to. He is definitely high on that list.
A couple other things there, Jimmy, to add to that update. Little news out of Boulder yesterday.
Ooh, I did see the green smoke.
Nothing with a coming and going and the guy that is the football coach there treating his football program like AAU basketball. They moved the Buffalo opener up a couple of days. So they are slated to play North Dakota State. They have moved that game from a Saturday. They're going to play on Thursday, the 29th of August.
Big Fox?
So, no. I think ESPN.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the schedule here. So North Dakota State, Colorado got moved up a couple of days. Oh, that's an advantage for Colorado. They'll have two extra days of rest before they come to Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Right now, as of right now, on that first Thursday night where college football, God dang it. You know, we have given up on college football on Thursday nights. We used to have some great Thursday night games.
Loved it.
But now that the NFL is on Thursday night, we say, here, just, you know, you haven't.
Here's Liberty.
You haven't inserted the whole thing, but just go ahead. But that first, going into the first weekend, that Thursday night has elicited some really good matchups along the way. This is a bad schedule. I can see why it had to be a television network that said, hey, we're going to pick you up. Can you move your game? And people in Fargo and the people in Boulder agree to it. Southern Utah at Utah.
Ooh,
Minnesota rivalry. Because of the state fair.
Yes.
They play on that Thursday night, just like they did against Nebraska last year.
They play
North Carolina.
Yeah,
so something. That game will be on Big Fox.
Yep.
Then you have
Kansas Lindenwood?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait, yeah. I won't be watching Colorado because I'll be at a game.
Yeah. So North Dakota State, Colorado.
I won't be here on Friday, by the way, guys.
Might be the best game of that opening Thursday night. And we used to have a couple of good games. Even last year, we had a couple of good games. You remember a Florida and Utah played, 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
As a kid, I saw Quentin Coriat and some poor TCU guys' life on Thursday night.
Hey, Kenny Hill won the Heisman Trophy for Texas A&M with a performance at South Carolina on a Thursday night.
That's right.
Kenny football.
And then Johnny Manziel during a preseason game had to be asked about it the same night. The
95 Huskers
SEC,
started on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I remember the SEC. It might have been... Gosh, I'm trying to remember. They were on a little bit of a run where they had two or three years in a row where they had an actual conference game on that Thursday night. I don't remember that happening here in the last couple of years, but yeah, like there were some really good games. I also do remember the year Minnesota played South Dakota State, and it was the year that Minnesota, so it would have been 2019 when they won 11 games. They damn near lost that one to South Dakota State. Like it ended up being a great game. Now, it wasn't a marquee matchup. Nobody was... Probably the college football world wasn't all in on Minnesota and South Dakota State, but with a little bit more of a local attention here, I remember that game. You couldn't take your eyes off that one, wondering if Minnesota was going to survive that. So there's been some good ones, whether the matchups have been enticing or the games itself have played out okay.
So Clemson and Georgia play in Atlanta in the Chick-fil-A kickoff. Let's see here. Notre Dame plays at Texas A&M. Penn State's at West Virginia. Boy, they'll treat James Franklin nicely. Miami is at Florida. Glad to see that back together. Other than that, well, South Dakota State goes to Stillwater. Take on Oklahoma State. That'll be a very intriguing game.
I'm going to ride with the Jackrabbits in that one.
That'll be a big game for Mullet. I mean, you do not want to lose to SDSU at home. Other than that, then the Sunday night game, which right now there's only one game on Sunday, so you can make your way out to Grand Island to the Nebraska State Fair. LSU and USC play in Vegas.
Of course.
And then the Monday game is BC at Florida State.
Yeah.
Usually we get a better game than that.
Let's get
really?
It started.
That's Labor Day?
See, here's Mr. Hot Take when it comes to scheduling Nebraska's opener, which it's still wild that Nebraska's first two games last year were on the road, is I think Nebraska should play on that Sunday night.
Yeah, that'd be great. You said that before. That'd be
they
fun.
They don't have much competition.
No school.
They're kind of a standalone. That's right. There's no school. People don't have to work the next day. Majority of people don't have to work the next day.
Just get silly.
It's a great lead up. You don't get lost in the opening Saturday of college football.
Didn't you guys talk to the organizer last year, Big Ten Media Days, you and Connor?
Of college football?
No, they saved the dude's life at the grocery store. What's the sponsor of that game?
It's the Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
You guys
talked to him, and he said...
Let's be honest, we talked to him because he gave us free Chick-fil-A cards.
Well, even better. I remember him mentioning that, and this, I don't think, goes as any surprise. Hey, you start winning games, but I know he did mention that Nebraska's been very attractive as a possible future schedule on that Sunday night. I'm not making that up, right? I remember him talking about the value of Nebraska, that they definitely would be under consideration.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said that to every...
Because they would bring...
I don't know if he might have said that to Northwestern when they were talking to the Northwestern radio group or Louis Vicaire.
UTEP, Nebraska has all the feelings of a 6 p.m. BTN
game. UTEP, Nebraska has all the feelings of a Sunday night game. That would be amazing.
No. Oh, you got 6 p.m. pay-per-view.
Yep. Hey, 6 p.m. BTN.
You play UTEP, you have no idea who you're playing. Are you playing the Broncos or are you actually playing UTEP? Well, what are those uniforms?
They also look like Illinois. UTEP, Illinois, I don't know.
This is not good.
Then they said, okay, they busted out their Orange Crush uniforms.
A reminder, thank you, listener, diehard Colorado Avalanche fan. He said the Chick-fil-A guy won in Nebraska when they hired Frost because of UCF's playing in the Peach Bowl and winning a national championship.
Okay. They were going to invest in Golden Tee machines for the
year. That's right.
So if you think that any of the excitement towards Prime will die down, will be muted until they do something this year. It just changed yesterday when they moved that game to a Thursday night. It'll be a spectacle for ESPN, and Colorado will be back playing on that date. And probably ESPN will go all in, and I bet ESPN does game day from there.
Yep.
Then they will move, and they will go to Atlanta and ahead of Clemson, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
As a Bison radio alum, I guess I'll have to wear green that day.
You are absolutely correct. That is exactly what will happen. Yeah, I can't get lost in the weeds on Saturday. Yeah, this is obviously a very good thing for Prime if you want to continue to enhance the brand and get a lot of that attention.
By the way, they may be losing their starting running back today. There are rumblings out of Boulder that, well, they got Hayden from Ohio State, who was not a bad running back, but he was buried on the depth chart in Columbus, and they got him yesterday. They may be losing Edwards.
Ooh.
I thought he was a favorite of Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least he was.
That's going to change my whole theory that he treats his college football program like AAU. That's what he does. It's like AAU basketball to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put a super team together. You got your kids' friends that come and play.
I wonder where Dylan would
go. Pick your team.
Kids' friends? Yes. They're like, oh, they've been playing since they were 12.
All right. Sam McEwen is coming up next. The spring game, of course, coming up at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Lots of fun. Carnival games for the kids. Petting zoo.
That would be
We're
great.
Honoring ex-Huskers.
We have bouncy castle.
Matt all of that stuff.
Llama?
Less football, more fun.
A cat?
That's how it should be around here. Less football, more fun.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to worry about if it's bad football because we're having fun.
Exactly.
And then when we stop having fun, we'll be like, hey, what about that football? And we're like, nah.
Hey, you know what? I had fun.
I like that bouncy house looks pretty good.
Yep. Let's go see Sip with his camel.
It was a good time. We had fun.
They're going to have bouncy houses set up on the, that's right. The Edward track is gone. R.I.P.
They should be given free tours of the new facility there.
While they're getting dressed.
Well, I didn't say that. Whoa.
You're taking people in the locker room.
No.
Wait a minute.
I get fan engagement, but this is taking it to a...
You added that part. I just said, hey, let them tour the new facilities.
Would you like to meet Coach Rule?
Put some bouncy castles on the turf right there.
As fans are touring the facilities?
They're just going through their...
while players are showering?
No.
And then as one person gets away from the tour and takes a closer look...
Jimmy, you did not hesitate on that one at all either. You jumped right all over that one.
Out from beyond the wall?
Yeah.
Hey! There's Chris Hansen.
GBR.
Oh, the lasting impressions that would leave on a young fan.
Just don't forget to say no.
It's always good to have goals, kids.
Can I ask you what you're doing? Sam McEwen joins us next. Mentality. You've heard me talking about it for a while.